Sprechstunde für neue Musik. Die Talkreihe zum Musikfestival Bern.
Was hat Kunst oder insbesondere Musik für eine Rolle im Kontext von Krieg oder Flucht oder gesellschaftlichem Umbruch? Dieser Frage widmen wir uns in der heutigen Sprechstunde für neue Musik. Herzlich willkommen. Ich bin Lucia Vasella und bei mir im Studio ist der Tobias Reber. Er ist Musikvermittler beim Musikfestival Bern. Wir werden zusammen durch diese Sendung führen und die heutige Diskussion mit unseren Gästen leiten.
Wir werden mit unseren Gästen Fragen diskutieren, wie beeinflusst die eigene Biografie eine Komposition? Welche Rolle spielt Musik im Leben von Geflüchteten? Hat Kunst überhaupt eine Wichtigkeit vor dem Hintergrund von tragischen Ereignissen? Und wie spielt in der Arbeit von unseren Gästen der Krieg hinein?
Das ist eine Sendung vom Musikfestival Bern und die nächste Ausgabe findet im September statt. Und für die Ausgaben können sich jeweils Musikerinnen, Komponisten und Ensemble bewerben. Und ein Ensemble, das das Kuratorium hat können überzeugen mit ihrem Bewerbungsvideo, ist das Duo Regard. Das ist ein junges Duo aus Bern und Syrien. Ihr Projekt heisst «To Build a Deconstruction». Und es ist eine musikalische Performance für zwei Performer, für zwei Notenständer, für einen Ton und einem Video. Und hinter dem Duo stehen der Syrer Hekmat Homsi und die Genferin Ludmilla Mercier und sie sind heute bei uns im Studio. Und als dritten Gast haben wir Helena Simonet da. Sie ist Musikethnologin und forscht an der Hochschule Luzern zum Thema Migration und Musik. Und weil es für uns alle am einfachsten ist, werden wir die Diskussion auf Englisch führen.
Zum Anfang wollen wir aber als erstes in ein Musikstück hineinhören. Wir hören die Komposition «Culture Shifting» vom Komponist Ezequiel Capellano, gespielt vom Duo Regard. So to get into today's topic, we would like to first meet our guests. First, we have Duo Regard. Welcome to both of you. Who are you and how did you become a duo?
Thank you. So yes, we are Duo Regard with Hekmat Homsi playing the oud and composer, and myself, Ludmilla Mercier, flutist and composer. So we met in Bern, in the Hochschule der Künste Bern.
Thank you so much, Tobias, for inviting us. While we met in the bachelor studies and we had many interesting discussions about our lives and our regard, so we decided at this point to create a duo. At first, we played some pieces together, then it turned into a real duo.
This will be your first composition together, and I would like to start our talk by hearing some of the music that you've created before. We're going to hear some of your music first, Ludmilla. What are you playing for us?
So this is a piece for flute and electronic that I composed with the help of Robin Lütolf. This is a sound engineer and sound arts player.
Thank you. And Hekmat, what have you brought for us?
So it is Décalage, a piece for two bass clarinets and two quarter tone pianos.
Our third guest today is Helena Simonet. Welcome, Helena. You are not a musician yourself, but you are an ethnomusicologist, or Musikethnologin auf Deutsch. What are the main topics that you work on as ethnomusicologist?
I started working on Mexican immigrant music in the US when I was there for my graduate studies. And then I sort of followed the musicians back to Mexico. There were trans migrants crossing the border back and forth. And the topic of the what role music plays in people's lives, I think that was something that stayed with me. And when I returned from the US to Switzerland, it was around the time of in 2016, 17 actually, it was a time where a lot of forced migrants came to Switzerland. So I started to think about particularly those young people that came from Afghanistan and Syria. I started to think about looking into their lives and what music means to them.
That's the study you work on right now. What are the main questions behind the research?
Those young people are not professional musicians. They're just youth, young people, and but they are active listeners, and they bring the music with them. And so we are interested in looking into how they construct new social identities through music, how they engage in music by dancing, listening, other musical activities, and particularly also how, for example, gender roles are reflected in music or how they might change over time, over the next few years.
And how far along are you with the research?
The research that's sponsored by the SNF, that started only less than a year ago. It's a team of, myself and three people, two from the Hochschule Luzern Musik and one from Sozialarbeit.
Sprechstunde für neue Musik.
Hekmat and Ludmilla, you are now working on a piece for Musikfestival Bern called To Build a Deconstruction. You are still working on the piece, but you've produced a little teaser trailer video for your piece. And now we can't play the video on the radio, but we can maybe listen to the soundtrack so we get an impression of how that might sound. Can you tell us a little bit about what happens in this short video and then, of course, also what's going to happen in your piece?
So this is a little trailer we did when we sent our piece to the Music Festival Bern. And yeah, we are actually playing with dance. And this is the idea where we begin with the piece, so that we are like using the dance as instrument and doing some sounds with stands.
So you're talking about music stands where we put the sheet music,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
Yes, so it's to describe the piece. It is a music theater piece for two performers, two music stands, tape and video projection. In where we will use, as Ludmila said, the music stands as instruments. And we could see in the video that we put our music instruments, traditional music instruments, behind of us on their stands, and we are playing with the music stands as a new instrument. That's the idea of the trailer that you have seen just now.
When you say it's a musical theater, can you explain for people who have never heard that term what that means?
Music theater, it's a very hard expression, and we are not all agree with it in music, but we can say that it is a concert where you see musicians on the stage not only playing on their instruments. So once you add a text or a movement or a video projection or a tape, we used to say that it is a music theater piece, while we are not all agree with this, because even when you take your instrument and you go on stage and you play, it is in a way a music theater. That's why it's a very tricky term, but that's it.
I think it's the moment when you cannot do a distinction, you cannot separate the music and what goes with the music. So it could be light, projection, performance, whatever it is, but you cannot separate those two elements. So if you just hear the music, it makes no sense. If you just look at what's happened, it makes no sense. And you need to have all the elements together that it makes sense. And this is music theater.
And in your piece, is there a topic or is there a certain theme that you are working with?
Yes, of course. So we are talking about two characters on the... One is Ludmila and the other is Hekmat, Swiss girl and Syrian boy. Both of us are composers, and we are talking about our lives. I mean, we are based on our lives, but we are not talking about us. We are just talking about these two characters that we imagined based on us on stage. So we are talking about the life that I lived during the war or during the arrival to Switzerland, and also we are talking about Ludmila's life, where she always lived in Switzerland. We are talking about reality and fiction. I think it was a very important question for us not to talk about reality as it is, because we were both of us okay that our role is not to talk about reality, but about to intensification of the reality, and to say it as a vision of us. So we see the reality in a way, in a certain way, and we propose this reality on stage.
And that's how also we are playing with objects. So normally music stands are used to put the scores and to rig the music, and we are just using it in another way. So it's a bit the same. We are using object and an idea from the reality, but we are turning it in another way.
Hekmat, you mentioned that you arrived in, or you came to Switzerland during the Syrian war, and that this transition in your life is being reflected in the piece. How do you even approach something like that as an artist?
That's what I wanted to say. We are not mentioning the war as it is. We are mentioning, we are based on our lives, Ludmila and I. So my life, I lived some years of war in Syria, so it is in any way mentioned in the piece, but we are not talking about the war itself. But we are talking about the destruction that a war can cause in a person. And that's what we mean with to build a deconstruction.
You mentioned that your biography plays a big role in the way you compose and in the way you make music. And I would like to ask, Helena, you worked with refugees, with young refugees, and the question of your research is also about the music and what role it plays, and maybe also how it changes the music in their lives from where they come from and when they get here. Did you find out something already, even though the study is not finished yet?
Yes, but what I would like to say is we are not asking directly what role the music plays in people's lives. So we ask different questions about what they used to listen, when they used to listen to music, what's their favorite music. So they start talking about it. Music is very emotional for particularly young people. It is part of their social identity. And they love to communicate about music. It's a way to approach these young people, not directly by asking, how did music shape your being? But I think what Hekma just said is very important, that the sounds around you, in that case, the sounds of war, shape how you listen and what in what kind of music appeals to you or does not appeal to you. And that, of course, is different with different individuals. So you cannot generalize.
That's a good place to ask Hekmat how this has played out in your own life. How did your relationship to music develop when moving to Switzerland and beginning a new life here?
I think it's the inverse. It's because of music that my life could be in a better way. When I arrived to Switzerland, I played already guitar in my childhood in Syria. But when I arrived, I was a bit lost into studies and what to do. Finally, when I decided to do music and to go back to music, it's there when I started to live again, I can say. Mm-hmm. So music helped me to relive, if we can say it, again and retake the life from beginning.
There's also in our online discussion that we had a couple of weeks ago, you both talked about this danger that people who have fled their home country, when they arrive in a new country, that they're kind of reduced to this label of refugee, and that you very much want to be careful to not play on that or to not have your piece about being that. Can you talk about how this shapes your work or how you deal with these kinds of preconceptions about refugees with a capital R, so to speak?
I think we are, so as Hekmat said before, our piece is about those two characters and about their past, but also about the future. And we are also really careful that to say that we are like Hekmat is a composer and performer, and I am also a composer and performer, and he is not only this Syrian refugee. I mean, of course, it's a part of his life, and it's something like that happened. And but just like also to show all the rest, all what is around him and around the life, and just like to speak about music, about what he left, and also about the beautiful stuff that happens. So. Yeah, I don't know if that was a clear answer. Maybe you want to add something.
Yes, absolutely that. We are not mentioning the war. We are not mentioning the refugee question. We are talking about us and about a fiction of us. So we are not talking about this directly. It is in the piece in any way because I lived this. But we have also in the piece a moment of peace. that we both of us lived also. So we are taking very much attention to this, especially after the war in Ukraine and all the new news that we have seen since some months. It is very hard, and it is not accurate, I think, for the artists to talk about wars. We are not here to talk about realities. We are talking about our vision of a better future, maybe.
We just heard a piece of music for string ensemble and oud. Hekmat Homsi, can you tell us a little bit about what this piece was and who composed it? And I also wondered while listening that about how the meaning or the cultural heritage of the oud changes when it plays with classical Western instruments, and then take that as a metaphor for thinking about how the meaning of traditional music changes in our culture.
So what we heard is a concerto for oud by Nur Iskender. It is a Syrian composer, a very big reference for us as Syrian musicians. And to answer on your question, I can say that oud and all instruments that have a very large history changed a lot. And if we come back to the history of the oud, it started in Iraq, 500 years old, and then it started to travel all over the world. So it didn't stay there. It traveled from Iraq to Syria to Iran to Egypt, and then to Europe with the lute that we had in the Renaissance. It is the same format of the oud. It is the same instrument, and it developed already in the centuries. So it is already changed. And now when we take it to the classical form, it is a new way to insert the oud, this traditional instrument, into the classical world, which is not anymore only for Europe. It is more a world classic. Now it started in Europe and it still have a very big and powerful history in Europe, but now in the 21st century, it is more a world question. So to try to insert the oud as an instrument, a normal instrument, into this history, it was important for Syrian composers. And one of them, I think it was Nur Iskender, which worked a lot on the traditional Syrian music and on also for the traditional instruments of the region.
Does the perspective on the traditional music change when you leave your country? Like the perspective on your heritage music? I don't know.
I think that depends really on the individual listener or the individual musician. The young musicians that we've met through the project, they do play their traditional music, but it's mostly in a format that's inspired by popular music. But that's popular music already in their countries, so it's not something new. It is, for example, popular Afghan music. And I think this is very compatible with the way that we in the West here in Europe, we listen to music. And I think it's really no difference with classical music. Already a century ago, they've played so-called exotic music or oriental music with Western classical instruments or orchestras. And it does sound really good. So it's not something really new. I think what you do with the instruments and with this other way, sort of the more new or contemporary music, using music stands to play with or on, this is really something where I think there is a huge potential for collaborating between European and non-European musicians, because it's something new, and it's something new is being created. With regard to your question, I think traditional music or the music that young people listen at home before they came here, they have shaped their lives already, and they are important. They are, in the first time, very important as a coping mechanism for them. For example, I talked with a young man about what he listens, for example, when he's happy or when he's sad. And he, for example, said that it's very important at night that he listens to some sort of music, because he knows at that moment his mother would also listen to that music. So there's this kind of communication without talking, just knowing that the other person listens to the same music, and it's kind of it's something that joins the two without having to call or without having to talk to each other, just knowing that the other person is listening to the same piece at the same moment.
I found also interesting, more than the music, just all the sound that we hear, like on the street, and what we smell, and like everything what we have around us. And that's something also that we are working on the piece, because it's like all those remembering that you have, Hekmat, about your life when you were in Syria. And that's really, like, we are also working on that, on the piece, like the a bit like the Madeleine de Proust, that all those stuff that come back when you smell something or when you just hear a sound.
Yeah, I think this music triggers a lot of memories. And that's why some of the young people would not listen to certain types of music, because it would trigger too many memories at the moment, and it was too sad for them to actually listen to music. They would prefer just silence. But I think every single person does cope in a different way. But I think music does play a very, very important role, precisely because it is something very emotional.
A couple of minutes ago, Hekmat, you talked about that you and your duo aren't trying to depict reality, and that the role of the artist is not to depict what is, but actually to offer an alternative, maybe a utopian vision of a better world, or maybe just different ways to think about the world, so that we as listeners might enrich and develop our perception and our thinking. So my question goes to both of you. How do you do that? How does the work of building a better world through music look?
We are hoping to build a better world, but we are not sure that we are doing it with the music. What we are doing with the music, or actually with this piece particularly, is we are putting all the emotions that we have, all the stories that we have, all the utopia that we have, and we are trying to deal with all these materials. At the end, if the result is positive, then it is welcome. If not, it means that we have a very pessimistic vision, which is possible also. With this piece, we are not creating a better life or a better future. We hope to. We're still in the term of creation. Let's see what will happen. But to build a deconstruction as a term, I don't think it is a positive term. I don't know what Ludmila would say with this.
I think we are showing that there are a lot of possibilities that exist, and a lot of different way, and a lot of stories, and a lot of past, and a lot of future also. And yeah, then it's up to us to build it, or to build it as a deconstruction.
I'm very much looking forward to seeing your piece at the Musik Festival this coming September. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for joining us here in the Rabe studio, Ludmila Mercier and Hekmat Homsi. Thank you also to Helena Simonet for joining us. And with this, we are coming to the close of this session.
Das ist die Sprechstunde für neue Musik. Online und on air auf Rabe.
«To Build a Deconstruction», das Stück vom Duo Regard, kann man am Musikfestival am 11. September schauen und hören. Bis dann gibt es noch weitere 3 Sprechstunden für neue Musik. Wer will mitdiskutieren, ist eingeladen, in der nächsten Online-Sprechstunde teilzunehmen, weil das Format gibt es nicht nur im Radio, sondern auch online. Und die nächste Online-Sprechstunde findet am Donnerstag, 9. Juni statt. Wer ist dort zu Gast, Tobias?
Dort haben wir 2 von 3 Gästen, die bestätigt sind. Zum einen ist das die Performerin Kinga Todt und der Komponist Lukas Huber, die zusammen auch an einem Stück für das Musikfestival Bern arbeiten. Und die 3. Person, die zu Gast wird sein, die sind wir gerade noch am Finden.
Das also am 9. Juni, am Abend um 8. Wer sich anmelden will, kann das machen. Alle Informationen gibt es auf der Webseite, die ist musikfestivalbern.ch. Und die nächste Sprechstunde hier auf Radio Rabe, die gibt es am 30. Juni, wieder am Donnerstag am Mittag. Am Mikrofon sind Lucia und
Tobias Reber.
Als Abschluss hören wir das Zupati Orchestra. Das ist ein Orchester, wo Klezmermusik spielt und dort spielt Ludmilla Mercier, die heute zu Gast war, mit.